So the first question is this. Question one. What is my relationship to the world around me? What is my relationship to the world around me? When I say relationship, I mean, what is my place? What is my position? What is my responsibility to the world around me? And when I say the world around me, I mean everything. Things, people, God, everything. So what is my relationship to the world around me? And as we discuss this question, I want you to keep two pictures in your mind, okay? We can do this, right? The first picture is a puzzle. A puzzle like every other puzzle you've ever seen. This puzzle is made up of many, many pieces. If you pick up one piece and you turn the piece over from side to side, you'll notice that one side is just blank cardboard, right? The other side has an image. So this puzzle, you must look at all the images of all the pieces that are in the puzzle, and you must put these images into their proper place, and there's only one way they fit. Okay? The other picture, keep in your mind, is just a ball of silly putty. Okay? So a puzzle and silly putty. Well, there's a Canadian philosopher by the name of Charles Taylor who studied just the shifts that we have seen in our modern concept of self. Now, the smartest guys that I read Charles Taylor and say, he's super smart and you can't understand anything that he says. Okay, so I've never read Charles Taylor. I never plan to. But he developed two concepts or two contrasts that he believes explain the modern shift in the sense of self. And so these two words, I'm going to give them to you, but don't choke over them. The two words are mimesis and poiesis, okay? And all these words do is just refer to two different ways that of thinking about the world. So the first way is mimesis. This is the puzzle with the puzzle pieces. Mimesis is a Greek word that we get our word mime from. It just means to imitate reality. So for mimesis, it requires observation. You look around at you. You look at the puzzle piece. You go, well, this is the image here. I think it fits here. No, it didn't fit there. Let's put it over here. It requires observation and an understanding of what actually is happening. And so a mimetic view of the world says this. It says the world has a definite structure and definite organization. And there are places where everything fits in together. And it's my job as a self, it's my job as an individual to enter into the world and figure out where the places go and put them all in the proper place. Okay? So in a mimetic world, I have to come to Liam and say, Liam, you are not actually a medieval knight. Now, I can wait till he's 7 to do that, okay? I'll do it right now. But at some point, say, Liam, you are not a medieval knight. I'm sorry, that's not a real cape, it's not a real sword. We ate that dragon, it was delicious, and it's gone. Okay? The pieces have to fit into their proper place. Now, you may have guessed this, but in our description of the modern self and the modern self's understanding of self, the modern self does not have a mimetic view of the world, does it? The modern self construct is poiesis, another Greek term. This term simply means to create, to make something new. And so poiesis does not care about observation. It doesn't care about what's happening on the outside. It doesn't care about what appears to be a concrete, absolute, biological fact. But poiesis just believes that the world, everything, the world is just a bunch of raw material, and I have the right and the privilege as an individual to do whatever I want to with it and make whatever I will with it. Here is your silly putty. Just take it, form it, change it, put it back together, do it again until you are satisfied until it has met your whim and your wish. Truman writes, as society moves away from a view of the world as possessing intrinsic meaning, so it also moves away from a view of humanity as having a specific given end. If the world doesn't have any intrinsic meaning, then I don't have any intrinsic obligations. I can make of the world what I want to be a world so that I can say, if you want to be a medieval knight, then by all means, you are a medieval knight. Go be a medieval knight. Now, I'm not going to dig into all the reasons. It's a fascinating read as to how we could arrive at this point. But I do want to observe that the technological age that we live in makes poesis very reasonable. Just a couple of examples. Time and space. If you were living in the 1600s in Europe and you heard about the gold in California and you wanted to immigrate from Europe to America, my history may be off a little bit. I don't know if they knew about gold yet. They would find out eventually. You wanted to immigrate from Europe to America, you would be, for all intents and purposes, saying goodbye forever to family and friends and loved ones in Europe. Because the world has limits, right? There's a big, big ocean. It's full of big, big creatures and rickety, rickety ships and lots of dysentery and cholera and all kinds of awful diseases. And it was unlikely you'll even make the trip over the first time. But if you ever get there, you're not coming back. It's too far, too hard, too limiting. But if you were to get a whim to travel to Europe today, last week, Luke, my son, said goodbye. About 6 hours later, he's texting me pictures from Costa Rica and Nicaragua. Facebook, FaceTime, WhatsApp, cars, planes, trains. Some of those are archaic already, right? You can Zoom anywhere you want to Zoom. And it's not an advertisement for the Zoom, but you can do that too, right? We can all be together. We live in a world where limitations don't seem so limiting, do they? You see, if we can neutralize time and space as a limiting factor, it just goes naturally that we can do almost anything if we just put our mind to it. We can clone sheep. We're on the cusp of cloning humans. We can give you hormones and perform surgery that will apparently change your gender. Friends, if we can reduce time and space as limiters, why can't we eliminate all structures that would seek to limit my desires, whether they be morals or gender or God Himself? The point he's making is that we all live in a world in which it is increasingly easy to imagine that reality is something that we can manipulate according to our own wills and desires and not something that we necessarily need to conform ourselves to or passively accept. Listen to the words of Friedrich Nietzsche. I don't imagine you've read him either. Maybe some of you have. But his idea was that human beings are called to transcend themselves, to make their lives into works of art, to take the place of God as self-creators and the inventors, not the discoverers of meaning. Now, you may be sitting in your seat right now thinking this is all nonsense. And it is. But I want to, before we move to the next question, just leave this thought with you this way. The question that we should be asking ourselves is, am I a functional poetic? You see, transgenders are not the only poietics. Those who regularly view pornography, liars, thieves, abusers, fornicators, rebels, the lazy, the unaffected, idolaters. There is a long, long list of functional poetics who take life as if it were a ball of silly putty and say, I will make this bend to my will. I will get my pleasure. Who live functionally as if the world and everything in it is merely raw material for me to create my own structure, my own meaning, and my own reality for life.